Okay, we'll go ahead and roll right into our post-race media availability. We are joined by our winning team, driver Kevin Harvick, driver the number 4, Mobile 1 Ford, and crew chief Rodney Childers. Kevin, this is your 60th victory in your career, 10th driver all time in series history to pull off that. How's it feel?
Yeah, it feels pretty neat. For me, it's I have a hard time putting stuff into perspective because I've just done this for so long. You know, I think when you have Dale Jarrett and Kyle Petty talking about, you remember that first time when you won in Atlanta? Does that seem like a long time ago? Because it does to me. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. It's been a long time. And you know, I think when you look back at just everything that's happened, that seems like just ages ago. Well, I guess it was. But, you know, I think as you look at, you know, the last 10 years, 9 years, at Stuart Haas Racing, and you know, then you go back to RCR, and you know, just been very fortunate to work with a lot of great people and be able to drive some fast cars and go to Victory Lane a whole bunch of times. So it's been a lot of fun, and you know, I think as you look at today, this is a place that I think we both wanted to win at. I think since the first time we ever came here, and it's just for one reason or another. You know, we've just never been able to get to Victory Lane while we've been at Stuart Haas Racing. So it's nice to be able to get to Victory Lane and you know, to do that 2 weeks in a row. I think, you know, today was just a total team effort. They were great on pit road. They made huge adjustments and made the car better from where we started the race. And, you know, everybody's just communicating well. And I think that's really the key to evolving and progressing and doing the things that we've done.
That's great. And Rodney, back-to-back wins. Sounds like strategy's been a big part. How's it feel?
Yeah, it's been great, you know, the last couple of weeks. You know, and like he said, to get one here at Richmond is really special to me. It's my first one here at this racetrack, and I don't even know how many times I've finished second or third here. It's been a lot. So to finally get to Victory Lane is really special to me personally, and I was thinking about this when he was talking about 60. I remember the day that in Victory Lane when he looked at me and said this was 40, and today's 40 for me. So I remember that day, and you know, wondering if I would ever get there. So you know, it's just a cool win for all of us, and you know, just to have everything go right again. You know, we had incredible pit stops, and every adjustment we made just happened to go the right way, and just, you know, everything worked out.
All right. Okay, well, let's open up to questions. Please raise your hand, and we'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start up here with Hank and then go to Mike and around the room.
Hey, Kevin, you mentioned forgetting to shift a couple times in those last laps. Does that suggest maybe some kind of nonchalance on your part that you were just kind of coasting, or because you did have a big lead?
Well, I missed a couple early in the race, too, so... you know, there's just a lot going on with the rhythm of, you know, when I started shifting, you know, I was only shifting on the front straightaway and I'm not on the back straightaway. And, you know, when you just start running lap after lap after lap, you know, sometimes you just get a little goofed up. But no, I don't think there's never nonchalant with us. Yeah, we're gonna run every lap fast. So, I almost take offense to that. I screwed up, but it's not from coasting around, that's for sure.
Mike Hembry, NBC Sports. Kevin, you talked about those big adjustments. When you go back on the track after a pit stop, obviously have new tires, how long does it take you to figure out, after the tires kind of wear off a little bit, hey, this change really worked?
Yeah, you know, I think the adjustments were really good, and I can hear some guys that were shifting and started trying that, and I knew the car was better from a forward drive standpoint when they made that first adjustment, and I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to hurt the tires because, you know, I think our the drive with our car was pretty good, and it just kept taking the, you know, the downshift and up off the corner. So I stuck with it and for the whole run, and it didn't kill the fall off by any means, but it, you know, it helped the car turn, it gave it drive, and you know, just with the rhythm that I was in, I just kind of stuck with it. And you know, I think you know, we got a good restart there and we're able to start making our way back forward. You know, they cleaned up half the mess on pit road with a great pit stop and an adjustment. And then, you know, from that point on, we were going forward.
And with 10 or 15 to go, did you think Buescher was going to be the threat? Were you a little surprised that Bell came up late?
You know, I thought that we had fended off the 17 pretty well, and then they told me that the 20 was coming. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, but usually when you're coming on new tires, there's no defense for that. You know, it's just and that's why I was a little bit frustrated with myself with the not shifting part on the front straightaway, because I gave up a big chunk. It should have never been that close. But, you know, just a lapse in my attention span, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
Okay, let's come back here.
Peter Stroud at TSJ Sports. Kevin, with 60 wins, you're behind Dale Sr. now on the all-time wins list. Just what's that mean with, of course, the lengthy history you and Dale Sr. and his team have?
Yeah, you know, I think, I mean, look, when you start mentioning the names that are on the, you know, on the top of that list, it's, you know, it's pretty special to be a part of, you know, those names. And, you know, I don't take that for granted. You know, I think as you look back at it, you know, I don't think as you start your career, you don't say, well, I want to, it's easy to say, I guess, you know, I want to win 70 some races and be close, or win 60. And then you start doing this on a week to week basis. And, you know, I think that's the hardest thing, especially, you know, I see it a lot in today's world. You come out of the Xfinity Series and you see these guys, you know, winning a lot of races, and you come, I tell Keelan, I'm like, if it, you know, you're a go-kart racer, when you want to go big boy racing, you go cup racing. And it's just a lot harder, because everybody in this garage is just a killer, right? You know, from the crew chief to the drivers to the guys changing the tires, it's the best of the best. And it's not easy, you know, to keep your team and everybody within your organization competitive, keep yourself competitive. It's hard. So, you know, I feel like we work as hard as anybody. We put in a lot of time, you know, to try to be good at it. And we have a good system that works with a group of people that loves to be around each other. And, you know, I think that's what makes it fun, is when you have a group of people that you enjoy being around, because this is hard, you know, to be able to do this. And, you know, I think that's 37 wins or so. I think it's 37 at Stewart Haas Racing, and you know, they've all obviously been with him. And you know, I think as you look at a lot of the team, there's a lot of those guys that have been there. So I get a lot of satisfaction in seeing success from a group. And you know, I think that is what keeps the dips higher, and you know, you're able to rebound and do the things that you do with good people. And, you know, when you have people that are good people and you like being around them, makes it easier, but it's still hard.
Okay. We'll go right here, and then we'll come up front.
Adam Cheek, Richmond Times Dispatch, 910 The Fan, and Front Stretch. Kevin, you touched on it a little bit in your intro to the press conference, but what worked for you today at Richmond, since you hadn't won at all here since 2014 and in Cup since 2013?
I don't even think we won here in 2014. So, in Xfinity. Oh man, we used to smoke them in the Xfinity car. We should have won every race here. You know, I think it was always, you know, it's always just been a good track for us, and it's just kind of like losing 65 times in a row. It wasn't because we weren't fast enough. It just didn't work out. And you know, we never put a lot of pressure on ourselves or had a lot of conversations about losing. And winning here today is exactly the same thing. You know, it's not that we haven't run good enough here. It just hasn't worked out. And, you know, I think the quicker that you can understand that in this sport and still have a high level of preparation and, you know, let things go pretty quickly, you know, the better off you're going to be, because it's not always going to go your way. But hard work and keeping yourself in a position to have a chance to win lets you capitalize on situations like we did last week. And today we just beat them. So, you know, but even though you think you have one of the best cars, still has to go your way. We had so many races last year that we, you know, we could have won in the last 10, but it just didn't work out. And Richmond's the same way. It's not that we did anything wrong. We had plenty of cars that were plenty capable of winning, just like they did today. But it takes a lot for it all to go your way and get to victory lane.
Okay, we'll come over here and then.
Steven Sykes at Live and Global Media. Congratulations on your win. After the first caution, things kind of got a little bit chippy throughout the rest of the race for the middle part of it. What did you feel you had to do to try to stay away from the fray? You see people coming out the turns being a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know what you're referring to as far as the chippiness, other than I don't know. You know, for us up front, you know, we had good track position and we're able to do the things that we needed to do and raced around, you know, a lot of the cars that we'd raced around all day. But I think we did have a couple cautions. Were they running over each other? Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we weren't involved in that.
There were some downforce adjustments that you had to make towards the yellow line versus what you had to do in a pass in Richmond. Could the crew chief describe a little bit of the adjustments you had to make?
Just during the race, we just started the race way too tight. And, you know, we were just trying to free our car up as much as we could. And we were able to you know, make some round adjustments in the back to take some wedge out, and made some air pressure adjustments throughout the race a little bit each time. And you know, we just kept after it, honestly. A lot of times when you have a good car, you kind of get scared and you quit making adjustments. And it seemed like today we just kind of continued to stay after it a little bit at a time and trying to make it a little bit better, because you know your competitors are going to do that too. And it cooled off a ton there at the end with the cloud cover and a lot of different things. So you know, there was a lot to, you know, take into consideration and you know, just trying to keep it going best we could.
Big picture question for you. You've raced here when the stands were full on Saturday nights through the leaner years, and now as they've redone the infield and done some more fan-friendly things. Can you maybe reflect on just how it's all evolved and how the crowds have evolved over the years and your experience here?
Yeah, well, I remember, I guess it would have been I don't know if it was the first or second one, but I got into the back of Ricky Rudd coming down the back straightaway, and all I saw were flash bulbs and people waving their arms, and then he moved me out of the race, and I think the whole place stood up and cheered. So, you know, it's hard for me to give you that perception because I've seen it with 100-some thousand people here and full, and you know, I think obviously sports today are different than they were then as far as live audiences and you know, things like that. You know, it's just it's a different landscape that we live in. But I'm glad that I got to experience living in, you know, racing and being competitive in the front of those fields and being able to you know, live in 105,000, whether they're rooting for you or rooting against you. It was still pretty neat because they're close here, right? It's like Bristol. You know, it's the boos are louder, the cheers are louder. You know, and at that point, nobody had phones, so they all had their cameras that would flash. That was always one of my favorite things coming to the green flag, where the light bulbs and all the things that would flash off on the cameras and things back in the day. And it just, you know, it's just different. You know, I sound like my dad or my parents, right? And you guys all know it and sound old and, you know, talk about how it used to be. And it's just different. It's not the same.
Come on up front to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This is for both of you. The first four races of the playoffs open at four of your best tracks: Darlington, Kansas, Bristol, then Texas. With that, and then with the speed and the performance that you guys have had really through kind of the summer stretch, are you guys kind of looking ahead in like the playoffs and you guys can make some noise and excited about that?
Look, we're boring. We don't ever look ahead. I mean, they plan ahead, but you know, it really winds up being, if I know that they're looking a little bit ahead if I show up at the simulator and they're like, hey, we're going to work on this particular race that's 2 weeks out. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're working on a project here. And I don't ever say anything, but I can tell. So, you know, it's, we went to Texas and ran last this year. So, you know, I think that all those things are out the window. And you know, Darlington was good. You know, Kansas was good. So, you know, we'll go back and run better at Texas, but you know, those are definitely good tracks for us.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at those tracks a little bit ahead of time, And, you know, Darlington, we were fortunate enough to do the tire test there, and we were able to race there, and we honestly had a good car. But it's also one of the places that we did everything completely backwards, everything that has made us better in the last 2 months. So Monday I brought it up, and then Tuesday that's all I worked on all day was Darlington, and then at the end of the day I'm like, I've got to quit worrying about Darlington at this point and just put it away. We went to the simulator Wednesday morning. I never brought it up again, but I mean, yeah, you have to think about those things and what car you're going to take and you know, all that stuff. So you just got to continue to plan and do the right things. And like he said, our system is what is working right now. It's not that we've done a ton different. It's our system is working, and the people are communicating the right way and talking about the right things. And that's kind of what we got to keep going.
More for me, it's the genesis of this team. It seems like when you guys are in a corner and people doubt you guys and say you can't do something, you guys come out swinging and kind of like to prove people wrong. Is that a wrong assessment of you guys?
It's kind of like when you have to put those small boxes in the newspaper where they have to correct their story and you can't hardly read them. I feel like a lot of you should put those at the bottom of your story. I get great gratification out of that. Hey, I didn't write it.
Over here to Matt.
Matt Weaver, Racing America. For Kevin, last week you talked about adhering to the routine, that you guys don't really change anything. But is there something about you at this point of your career, all the success you've had over the past decade, that you've been more malleable, more willing to adjust your ways or not get too set in your ways, especially now in this new era with this new car? Is that something that goes into your success?
I think for me, I never have a problem speaking up if I don't agree with them. They may not ultimately agree with me, but I will just voice my concern of, you know, maybe we're taking this too far, not far enough. I have no problem, you know, when they show me data that says you're not doing a good job. Whether it's, you know, steering, throttle, brake, gas, like, nobody's going to get offended, and nobody's walking on eggshells to show you that stuff. If it's something where, you know, another competitor is doing this and we're getting beat badly because I'm driving the car bad, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know what was good and what was bad. But I have no problem, you know, just going out and trying something or trying to develop something. I think with our road course stuff, I think that's really been the, you know, the biggest key with Joey Hand, and just developing, you know, new braking strategies and you know, the way that you use the throttle and the things that make this car tick. I mean, he can probably speak to, maybe there's something that sticks out more to him, but, you know, it's just nobody gets offended if you don't agree with them or, you know, they tell me I'm doing a bad job and, you know, you need to do something better. We all want to achieve the same things, and that's the great part about our group is nobody cares about, you know, you disagreeing or you saying something that it isn't going to offend them. It's going to be productive, and we're going to progress, and, you know, we're going to challenge each other, and we're going to move forward. And whether that's right or wrong, you know, that's just the way that we do it. And I think that just comes from years of trust, years of communication, years of talk. And, you know, I think that's the biggest key to progressing in a positive way.
So is that purely Kevin Harvick, SHR driver, or have you always been that way, even dating back to RCR?
You know, it's just such a different era. You know, we talked about it Wednesday on the Little Motormouth show, and just, you know, it used to be a sawzall and a hammer and trial and error, and now it's simulation and simulators, and, you know, it's just different, right? You know, in order to try things and do things, you have to try them differently. Nobody, could you imagine if somebody said, okay, we're going to cut the bottom of the car off today, and everybody be, yeah, we can't do that. And you know, back in the day, I mean, it was just cut stuff off and all right, go out and run it. You know, it might make it around the racetrack, it might not, but, you know, we need to try it. So, you know, I think the way that you progress is just different. The trial and error is no different. And he always likes to tell me there's no guessing. It's all calculation. So I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence as to some of it's a guess, but I know that pushes his button. He hates the word guess because, you know, those guys, they put a lot of time into it, but, you know.
Yeah, and lastly for both of you guys, do you enjoy this kind of old school strategy, long green flag run race that feels kind of like something out of the early 2000s, tons of tire fall off? Is that something that you embrace because it doesn't come down to just best pure speed?
I know for me I do. You know, I've always loved tracks like that, and we don't have a lot left, you know, to be able to do that kind of thing. But to be able to, you know, split a stage into thirds is not something that the average fan would sit in the stands and realize that is going to happen. You know, if they just look at the laps and how far each person can go on fuel, you're like, well, why would they do that? But it's always interesting to see that play out, just like in the spring race. You know, we pitted early, and then the 11 realized what we were doing and pitted, you know, the next lap, and then we sit there and finish first and second. But I think you just see people like him excel too. You know, you got a guy that knows every seam, every crack, every cranny of these places that he's raced at a long time, and you know, you hunt around, you find different things, you do different things, and you just have a lot more options at places like this. And I mean, like we talked about in Victory Lane, like this was a better race than any of us thought it was going to be today. Like to have cars running up against the fence and guys on the bottom, guys in the middle, like, you know, when we walked in this garage yesterday morning, none of us would have said that. And, you know, there was a lot of passing out there, a lot of different things that went right today. So, and you look back at last week, the same thing. We thought, you know, we all thought Michigan was going to be a bad race, and it's the best Michigan race we've seen in forever. So, you know, you never know what you're going to see. But for us, you know, I enjoy it, and I'm pretty sure he does. Just, you know, saving tires and doing the right things.
It's the grease on the shoe.
Come up front to Bob.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Rodney, can you describe, I guess, maybe either the emotion or just the outlook of going from, you know, potentially not making the playoffs to now knowing you're in the playoffs and having 10 playoff points to boot?
Yeah, and like I said last week, you know, within the group and in those meetings every Tuesday morning with the four team and that small group, you could see it 2 months ago. You know, 2 months ago, it was like, you know, we ran better here, and this was better, and this was better, and this is better. And then, you know, 2 months before that, we would have those meetings, and it's like, well, this was worse, this was worse, this was worse, this was worse. So, you know, it started 2 months ago, and you could just see everybody, you know, the communication and the confidence and the cars we were building and all that stuff just got better. And it doesn't take a lot of confidence with our group to make a huge difference. And, you know, and, you know, that group, like he said, has been a tight-knit group the entire time, and we push each other. Like when I have a bad day, Cheddar pushes me. When he has a bad day, I push him. And it's the same for our engineers. It's the same for our shop guys. And, I mean, every team in this garage goes through so many negatives that nobody in here ever hears about, whether it's somebody in your family that's sick or whether somebody's, you know, got this or got that. And it's so hard to keep the positives going even when things are going right. Like the year we won 10 races, you know, a guy on our team had cancer. Like those types of things, you know, that's what you talk about in the meetings more than you talk about making your cars better, because you hope that guy makes it, right? So that's the kind of group that we are. We talk about anything and everything. We talk about somebody's birthday. We talk about somebody's anniversary. We talk about somebody's kid being born last week. Those are the types of things we talk about, but it's really just about keeping the system the same and not, you know, not being over here 1 week and over here the next week, and just treating people the same, treating people right, and doing the right things.
Okay, over here to the left.
Chris Powell, Couch Coach Live. Congratulations, Kevin, on the win. I want to know your thoughts, your mentality when you were trailing in this race, and what ultimately prepared you to actually win this race?
How we got faster. you know, I think the key was just, you know, we didn't make any mistakes, and we're able to survive those green flag pit stops and maintain with the 20. You know, and I think when we were, or the 22, when we were able to get on the outside of Joey and kind of wore him down, took a while to wear him down that last run there when we got by him. So that was really the key, was getting control of the race and being able to, you know, run the lap times and be the leader and kind of, you know, finally get to the point was just good enough. You know, the 20 was obviously coming at the end, and you know they had a good strategy and just needed it one lap shorter, it seemed. So, but I think getting around the 22 car was the key, and coming out, you know, in front of that last green flag pit stop, we didn't have to waste any time, and ultimately we needed every lap to make as much pace as we could, you know, to stay in front of the 20.
Come over here to the middle.
Michael Massey, Front Stretch. First off, both of you guys, are you wishing this race was still in the playoffs right about now? Because you'd be well on your way to, you know, next round.
Wishes don't do much around here. You know, I've learned a long time ago that things are going to change, and I have very little control of that stuff. So, you know, we'll enjoy today and the things that come with that, and worry about the coulda, shoulda, wouldas we do not worry about.
This run feels kind of like that Harry Gantt kind of run, right?
Mm.
You're not that old yet, but yeah. Does that make you feel like today's like today? Does it make you feel like you
I don't
could?
Even know what month it is. What are we in, August? Yeah, I guess we could go with August. Yeah.
Does it make you feel like?
Well,
you
I guess
could?
When we get done with Daytona, we'll just see where it's all at. But we can't have another Mr. September, right?
Mr. August, yeah. But does today like make you feel like you could do it for 5 more years, be that Mark Martin, Harry Gantt guy that's like doing it in their 50s, winning?
You know, my wife's going to kill you if you talk about racing in the 50s. So, yeah, I don't know about that. But, you know, we're going to enjoy what we're doing and you know, do the things that we'd like to stay present. So we'll worry about wherever we're going. Watkins Glen this week. So,
go ahead, Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. I have another old guy question, but let's call it a perspective question. Okay. How about that? Since you talked about perspective in your opening answer. So since you've turned 40, this is your 29th Cup Series victory, which ranks third all time and also means almost half of your career Cup wins have come since turning 40. So as someone who tweeted old guys rule, do you take some pride in that?
I do take pride in that. I love it. You know, I think you know, and for me, you know, a lot of the guys that I grew up racing with are, you know, Dale's up in the booth, and Kyle and Dale Jarrett are, you know, down here, and, you know, you've got Boyer in the booth, and so, you know, Jeff's on pit road. You know, after the race, I saw Jeff and driving to victory lane. So, you know, a lot of the guys that I grew up racing with, you know, they're all retired and doing other things, but I get to still see them, and it's, you know, it's those quiet high fives that are a lot of fun and kind of keep it in perspective for me because of the fact that, you know, you're older and supposed to be done and kind of headed down a path that is you know, toward the end. But, you know, I think I've always prided myself in trying to be competitive and do what it takes to be competitive and make the sacrifices that it takes to be competitive but I do enjoy it. Yeah, there's nothing better than winning. You know, that's what we do. And I don't know how to really put it all into perspective because it's just not something that I just stop and really ever look at. I never really stop and say, you know, where are all those 60 wins? You know, it's, you know, I the first one's easy. Today's easy to remember. Last week's easy to remember, but. You know, if you guys wouldn't have told me that the last race that we won was at Bristol, I would have argued with you. I would have told you it was Darlington. So, you know, I don't really look at the numbers. It's always about, and maybe this is a fault of mine, but, you know, I think it's also, you know, one of the reasons that we progress forward. But it's never about what you have done, what the numbers look like. It's what do we got to do next week? What could we have done better last week? How do we keep this all in perspective? And so, you know, you can look at all that stuff when it's over. And if you gave it all you had, you know, hopefully, you know, you can be successful. And if you outwork them and, you know, you have a better group of people and a better relationship with those people, you know, how do you, and that's one thing that KHI really, you know, opened my eyes is, you know, all the people, every person in that shop you had to treat different. you know, whether they were doing good or bad, and how you approach that, you had to treat them different. And we have a group of people that have a lot in common on our team, very similar in age. You know, a lot of them have kids, and you know, for whatever reason, that has all meshed. And so, you know, it's just this constant communication, and we don't ever talk about, you know, how cool it was 2 wins ago. We'll talk about how great it was to win this week, and then it'll be, all right, see you Wednesday. And so, you know, maybe sometimes I need to just stop and kind of take it all in, but I don't know. It's that I always feel like it's bragging, you know, when you stop and talk about yourself. And you know, I think for me, I just want to be like, I like most of the kids in the garage. I like, you know, being around the competitors. I've got a much better relationship with most everybody in the field. You know, the crew chiefs, the owners. So I like that part. And you want them to respect you when you're done. So, you know, it's hard to, I don't know, the perspective of what has happened is really not something that I stop and say, you know, that was pretty cool. I thought it was cool that I could put my little girl in the car last week and we could, you know, do stuff like that. And so those are the things that I think are neat right now.
And for Rodney, about the race, you mentioned it, like, in April, it was just you and the 11 that were sort of on that strategy, and it seemed like everybody was on that strategy this time. Was this a more straightforward, easier, so to speak, type of race to call?
Yeah, it was. You know, and all these teams are good at that stuff, right? So we look at the practice fall off, and, man, we weren't 20 laps into practice, and my engineer back at the shop is telling me on the intercom, yep, it's going to be that. You know, you're going to have to pit twice. You're going to have to do those kinds of things, and it's about 5 or 6 seconds faster doing it that way, but it ends up being more than that. Like, you know, from a mass standpoint, it shows 5 or 6 seconds, but he'll tell you on the racetrack, when you have those old tires, you just end up handicapped. You can't do anything. You can't get out of the way. You can't do this. You can't do that. And the 5 seconds turns into 15 seconds. So, you know, it all comes down to that math and practice and looking at the fall off. And it was pretty easy to see yesterday.
All right, come up the front to Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. First for Rodney, Joey said the difference for him was the weather came in and you guys were getting better. Were you surprised at how much the weather changed, particularly in that third stage? It got really cloudy and it started to cool off, which seemed to be to your benefit.
I wasn't sure if the weather was helping our car or if the adjustments were helping our car, because we had made one adjustment under green. And right after we pitted, we went back out and I looked up at my monitor and we were 11.9 seconds behind Joey, and he was the leader at the time. And then we ran all the way to the end of stage two, and we were like 1.6 seconds, I think. Like, we had caught him 10 seconds over 50 laps, which is unheard of at a place like this. So, you know, I felt like the adjustments were making it better. And, you know, looking back on it, maybe the weather was helping our car and doing, you know, half of the stuff for us. But you don't really know that, right? So you just kind of keep going with your gut and what you think is right and what you think you need.
And for Kevin, something Rodney told me last month was that he and the team were putting it on themselves to try to make you more comfortable in this race car, because you had made comments that sometimes the car was faster than you and you were just still adjusting. Where do you feel like you're at now with this car? Because you've spoken about what an adjustment and how it's been different this year, obviously learning a new car. Where do you feel like you are now?
I think it depends on the racetrack. You know, I think we've obviously, you know, figured out ways to make it more comfortable. And, you know, I think once it's more comfortable week after week, you just become more confident. So, you know, you got to remember the first lap of the first downforce race backed it in the wall. So that was really where the confidence started, you know, from that standpoint. And then you work different weeks and different tracks and different things. And you know, you have good tracks, bad tracks, and now we're kind of getting into a rhythm. So, you know, I feel pretty good about where everything is right now and being able to lean on things and do the things that you need to do in the car.
Come up to Mike, then Bob, and then we'll wrap up with one in the back.
Rodney, you probably couldn't hide anyway, but now that you guys are so strong these past couple of weeks, you know, sneaking up in the playoffs is not going to be a thing. Is this going to make it harder in a way for you now that you'll be more of a target when the playoffs start because you are running so well?
Man, like I told Claire, you go week by week. I mean, you're only as good as the last race. And, man, you look at the eight today. I was, you know, Tyler come by on pit road and said good job. And I was like, man, what was wrong with y'all? And it's like, you know, you got somebody that has been so dominant here lately, and then they were just completely out to lunch. And honestly, I think that could happen to us. It could happen next week. It could happen the next week. And there's just so much of a learning curve still. You know, yeah, you're, what, you know, 7 months into this deal, but, you know, everybody's still, you know, messing with what brake pads they're going to run at this track and what steering rack they're going to run and what, you know, this and that. And, you know, that's part of giving him the confidence of driving the car. Is like when, you know, at the beginning of the year, that stuff was changing every week. And it's like, that's too fast, that's too slow, and these brakes do this, and these brakes do that. And it's like, you know, that's really where it all, you know, boils down to, is all that stuff has to be perfect and to win races. So, yeah, I mean, we've got confidence, but, you know, like we said earlier, you just got to keep doing the same things we've been doing and your same system and, you know, concentrating on the right things and doing the right things and, you know, keep the guys at the shop motivated and just, you know, where it goes is where it goes. But you gotta just keep doing your thing.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'm Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Kevin, did you say that you have a good relationship with the younger drivers in the garage? Is that what you said? And I'm thinking back to last September and October where it didn't seem like you had any relationship with the young drivers.
Well, I mean, you're just speaking of Chase, though.
Yeah, but it seemed at that time that it was more like you kind of indicate that you don't talk to a lot of them. I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah, you know, I think I still feel good about talking to most of them. I think it's kind of fun, actually, because, you know, I look at Noah right now, and I'm like, oh man, he's going to be entertaining. And in the same sense, I'm like, oh man, he has no idea what's coming, as far as the week to week grind of trying to be competitive. Because I've seen it with Cole, I've seen it with Chase. You know, you look at Blaney, took him, what, 2-3 years to kind of really get going. Elliot was the same way. So, you know, I think it's kind of fun, you know, to see, like, guys that are young enough to be your kids starting to drive the cars, right? So they're young. Like, Ty Gibbs is, what, 19?
Yeah.
So it's funny to – I rode around in the truck today with him, and you know, it's just – some of the things that you talk about are very entertaining and also just, you know, just opens your eyes to the different perspectives of how people see things and just what's happening. And it's like we talked about the crowd, right? You know, it's a good, we had a good crowd today and good crowd at Michigan last week. And next week we're going to go to Watkins Glen. There's going to be people everywhere. But it's still never going to be what it was, right? Like, it's still never going to be 105,000 people here. It's still never going to be 250,000 people at the Daytona 500. It's never going to be 220,000 people, 200,000 people at Charlotte. And nobody's got cameras with flash bulbs anymore that, you know, you're going to have 200,000 people snapping a picture at the start of the race. You know, it's just different. And perspective has changed and different and expectations and all those things that go with that. So yeah, you know, I think I've tried to be more open with a lot of those guys and just trying to, you know, you hear so many people, well, that guy wouldn't talk to me or that guy wouldn't talk to me. I just try to talk to all of them. Why not? Right? Because, yeah, you want to be kind of engaged with your competitors and peers and people that you're around. Imagine if Nate didn't like you. You guys would be battling, right?
I don't have to imagine.
Yeah. Okay, you're saying you don't wait, are you saying you don't like Nate? Is that what you're saying? Did I hear that? That's how it would go for me, Bob. Are you saying you don't like Nate? You haven't answered me, Bob.
We all have
our minds.
Okay, let's wrap up with one last question in the back.
Barry Richmond, Piedmont Broadcasting Corporation. Actually, what you were talking about is a good segue into my question. Having weathered this drought, as it were, was it easier to do that, given that you have a driver owner, a seasoned crew chief, and yourself knowing what you are capable of, because you really seem to be kind of Mr. Cool throughout this thing, at least in the public view?
It didn't bother me one bit. You know, obviously we'd all rather win, but I've been through longer losing streaks. So, you know, that stuff is you can fall right into that trap and let it suck you in, and it's too hard to take time to do that because there's just way too much to do. You know, there's way too many conversations to have. There's just, I've got a million things going on that, you know, it's, and I'm glad I have a million things. Maybe I'd think about it different if I wasn't as busy as I am, you know, and you have time to just sit there and, you know, go through the same thing day after day. So I don't know, but, it was really nothing that ever affected us just because of the fact that you're always worried about next week. And, you know, it's no different than what we've done the last 2 weeks. We haven't done anything different, but, you know, cars have run good for a couple months, and now a few things went right, and now we've won twice. So that's just the way this deal goes. You know, you can take the fastest car and not win with it 10 weeks in a row, but if you keep pounding away and putting yourself in position and doing a good job and communicating and talking and trying to progress things on a week-to-week basis and don't quit, you know, things, you know, we'll come back around. So maybe that's wrong. I don't know. Works for us. It's working for us, though. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you for coming in, and good luck next week.
Thank you.